This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. In 2012, American and European regulators approved a new drug that was poised to revolutionize the treatment of cystic fibrosis. Called Kalydeco, the drug corrects an underlying genetic mutation that affects about 10% of cystic fibrosis patients. So far, it's been used to treat about 2,000 people in the United States at the cost of $300,000 per patient per year. But for each of those people, Kalydeco transforms their lives. The drug is also indicative of a massive transformation currently underway in the pharmaceutical industry. It's a shift from big pharma, think Lipitor, to new pharma, where cutting-edge research leads to personalized medicine for ever smaller groups of people. Kalydeco's creator, Boston-based Vertex Pharmaceuticals, is one of several so-called new pharma companies leading the way. But where this trend is headed and what it means for all of us is anyone's guess. Writer Barry Wirth takes us behind the scenes of Vertex in his new book, The Antidote, Inside the World of New Pharma. It's his second book about the company, and Barry Wirth joins us now from the studios of New England Public Radio in Amherst. Barry Wirth, welcome to the program.
Good to be here, Meghna.
So it's great to have you. I want to talk first a little bit more about the story of the development of Kalydeco in particular, because it's one of Vertex's most recent successes. So can you take us back into the thinking behind Vertex, you know, the science and leadership team, about why they decided they wanted to go after one particular genetic mutation that affects 10% of cystic fibrosis sufferers?
Sure. Cystic fibrosis is one disease, and it results from a broken protein. When this protein isn't functioning properly, it inhibits the passage of water and salt through the cells that line many body cavities, most notably the lungs and airways. And so people with CF have serious lung disease, and it only gets worse. And even now, with all of the treatments that have been developed over the last 30 years, their life expectancy generally is somewhere in the 30s. Yeah. The Cystic Fibrosis Foundation, which is a pioneer in what's called venture philanthropy, went looking for companies around 2000 that would go after the underlying cause of the disease, the genetic defect that actually causes this protein not to break. The problem is that there are 1,800 different mutations that can result in the same broken protein. And Vertex was the company that the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation funded to do this, and they discovered early on that their best hope of discovering a drug that would actually fix the defect was designed specifically to work in a mutation that only results in about 4% of the people who have the disease. So they were faced with a dilemma, what to do. But they and the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation decided together that they needed to move forward with this because it really is a tremendous breakthrough.
Can I just jump in there for a second? Because, I hear what you say about it. It presented Vertex with a dilemma. But on the other hand, this is exactly the kind of thing that Vertex has been doing for quite some time. It's like taking a very bold but narrow focus on a subset, say, of disease sufferers, and saying we're going to do something to help you.
Right, but there are two problems here. One is drug discovery and development is very, very, very expensive and very risky. Whether you're designing a drug for 2,000 patients or 200,000 or 2 million patients, and the other is that to move forward with a drug that only would be effective in 4% of patients left the concern that the other 96% of patients would have to wait and languish until there were drugs available for them. So in any case, Vertex went forward with Kalydeco, and for the 4 to 10% of patients who have so-called gating mutations, the drug is a wonder. It transforms their lives. It actually fixes what's wrong with them. They're in the process now of developing second and third drugs that will work in combination with Kalydeco that should be able to treat perhaps half the 70,000 people around the world who have CF. And they're in the process of working beyond that with the goal of trying to treat everybody with CF by 2020.
Right. So they're taking it in steps, essentially.
They have to.
But is this not a good example of this world of new pharma that you write about?
It's an exceptional example. But what we're learning is that there are unintended consequences as well. For the longest time, people didn't go into rare diseases precisely because the numbers of patients were small and the potential market reward wasn't considered significant enough to really induce investors to put all that time and money into developing a drug. Because Vertex was able to, at least in this country, obtain a very high price, about $300,000 a year, that has captivated the attention of the entire industry. It's now well understood that even the rarest of diseases can be a big moneymaker for a drug company. So on the one hand, we have this tremendous breakthrough, which for the patients themselves is a godsend. But on the other, a very high cost that at the moment doesn't really matter significantly because it doesn't really affect the cost arrangements in drug pricing, but will certainly when more and more patients are being treated with these very effective and also supremely expensive drugs.
Right. And so, I mean, the current way that the pharmaceutical market works in the United States at this point in time, as you said, allows for that very high price for a drug like Kalydeco. But that's not, I mean these are global players, right? They're, the United States is not their only market because that's not the way it works in other countries. I mean, they're not charging that much or aren't able to charge that much for Kalydeco elsewhere, right?
No. Well, this is an interesting case study. Because this is a genetic disease, it only affects certain populations. And these are people who have historically come through Northern Europe. That is, this is a disease that affects white people almost exclusively. So Kalydeco will never be needed or sold in most countries around the world. But in other European and European-derived countries like Canada and Australia and New Zealand, this has become very controversial. Those countries can't simply say to drug makers, whatever you charge. They have limited resources. They have governmental organizations that are involved in trying to decide whether there's truly a value to individual drugs. So in Britain, for instance, the government agency negotiated a discount with Vertex. The drug doesn't cost $300,000 per patient per year there, and everybody who qualifies gets it. In Canada, where they've been negotiating for almost a year and a half now, they still haven't been able to come to terms. This is our future, I think, because eventually when the numbers are larger and the prices are higher, we're going to have to make decisions about whether we can afford to treat every person with a rare disease.
Right. You know, in your first book about Vertex back in 1994, I believe, the billion-dollar molecule, you wrote about the founding of this upstart, renegade, very different thinking company in the world of drug development and pharmaceuticals. And now with the new book, The Antidote, Vertex is, I guess, sort of in its teenage years.
Late adolescence.
I mean, has the fact that the company, it's got $1 billion in annual revenue, they've got their, sparkling new facility there on the Boston waterfront, they moved out of Cambridgeport. I mean, are they proving that this model, this new pharma model that they seem to embody, not only works, but indeed is the future of drug development?
Well, let's say they've made the first cut. Vertex is now 25 years old, and what it has shown over the last couple of years is that it can do what it set out to do, which is to produce breakthrough drugs for serious diseases where there are no other comparable treatments. But in the drug industry, as in many other industries, it's more about what have you got for tomorrow. And in order to demonstrate that Vertex can do this again and again and again, they're going to need to do it again and again and again. And though they do have combination therapy for cystic fibrosis coming, it's also been quite some time since they've had a comparable breakthrough come out of the lab. So to answer your question, I think it's a little too early to predict whether they can produce a sustainable, productive R&D pipeline that will keep the company moving forward for decades to come. We're still going to have to wait on that.
So in that case, I mean, are we likely to see any of the big 800-pound gorillas in the pharmaceutical marketplace, the Mercks of the world, change their philosophy of drug development?
Well, I think they're going to have to. The background for all this is that there is a productivity crisis in pharmaceuticals. If you look at Pfizer, for instance, Pfizer had the best-selling drug of all time, Lipitor, which topped out at about $13 billion a couple of years ago and has now gone generic. In 2009, when Pfizer was spending about $8 billion a year on research and development, it was determined that from that year until 2015, they were going to lose 70% of their revenue because of these patent expirations, these patent cliffs. So the question is the $8 billion a year that they're spending producing drugs that will fill that void? And the answer plainly is not. Pfizer has had to cut back, as all the big companies have. Most of them are simply too large to sustain this kind of productivity, and we're facing the reality of that, which is why I think it's important to look at some of these smaller companies and see what they're producing.
Yeah, and so I wonder, that takes me back to a question that kind of emerges in my mind regarding the story of Kalydeco and its development. So the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation comes to Vertex and says, mm-hmm. hey, we have this idea. But what about, for other major companies that maybe want to do more of this, headed towards personalized medicine in terms of drug development? I mean, how might they go about making the decisions of what diseases or subsections of diseases to go after? Are we going to see less and less interest in, boring everyday problems that most of us suffer from, like hypertension?
I think we've got a number of good drugs for hypertension that are already generic, and we're into a new phase now. The question you ask is, how does a company decide whether to go into a disease area? Well, they do several things. One is they look at the science. With cystic fibrosis, the gene for the protein that causes the problem in people with the disease was discovered in 1989. So that's 25 years ago. It took a number of years in order to isolate the protein and understand it better, and then begin to start to look for small molecules that would interact with it in order to change its functioning. This is often a 20 to 25 year process, and the drug industry, everybody's in the same boat. They're looking and saying, okay, if we start on this today, we may not have a product for another couple of decades. This is not like inventing a new app in your dorm room and turning it into a $1 billion product or a $10 billion company within a couple of years. It's a long slog. So they have to justify it by the science and also by what they consider to be the size of the market. I think what has really turned a lot of heads with the Kalydeco story is that Vertex now has projected revenues of $6 billion a year or more from quite a small patient population with CF, if everything comes to pass and they do get these combo therapies to treat everybody. That's a different formula than companies asked themselves to look at in the past. Before it was, how many hundreds of thousands of prescriptions can we get doctors to write so that we can be making a lot of money on our product?
But then again, just to, to come back to, I think, some of the questions that people have about personalized medicine, in the case of the small percent of people who suffer from cystic fibrosis who benefit from Kalydeco, mm-hmm. yes, it is absolutely, it saved their lives.
Absolutely.
But, then there's everybody else who suffers from cystic fibrosis. And even a larger sort of outcropping of that question is, what does this move towards these specialized medicine, the sharper focus, what does it mean for the rest of us?
Well, we don't know. I mean, there's a parallel situation occurring now in cancer care. 10 years ago, if you had lung cancer, regardless of the course of your disease or the genetic proclivities that would have resulted in you getting the disease, everybody got the same drug. Now we understand through genotyping and other testing that some of the drugs are extremely effective for very small numbers of patients, and we can predict who those people are beforehand, and for the most part, they're not going to be effective for everybody else. So it's the same sort of narrowing down. It's much smarter. I mean, the brilliance of what's occurring is that we're now finally able to figure out precisely who's going to benefit when, where, and how. The problem is that because we can also then justify giving the drug to everybody else who may or may not benefit at these costs, that we're going to have to make some decisions. And I haven't seen anybody really thinking all that through yet.
Well, Barry Wirth's new book is called The Antidote: Inside the World of New Pharma. It's a fascinating read. He's also author of the 1994 book, The Billion Dollar Molecule. Barry Wirth, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
And I should say that Barry Wirth will be at the MIT Media Lab speaking on this topic on Thursday, and there's more information at radioboston.org.